This is podtech.net. I'm Michael Johnson. I'm here with Dr. Shashi Sharoor, who is the Undersecretary General for the United Nations. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
We're here at TICON 2006, and you've just given an interesting talk with a fascinating title. It is called A Disruption and Convergence in Geopolitics, Terrorism Tolerance, and Global Imagination. I want to start with the global imagination part and work backwards from there. What was your intent in bringing the imagination into this conversation?
Well, I thought the whole idea of having me come out here was not so much because I know very much about the kind of technological and entrepreneurial challenges they're dealing with, because that is in my field, but rather to broaden the terms of discussion and to get them thinking about larger sets of issues. I'm a novelist and a writer as well as a UN official, and my two worlds get me thinking about the globe a lot, but also get me thinking about the products of the human imagination, whether they're works of art, culture, literature, or whether they're acts of intolerance, violence, and hatred. And all of those are the products of human imagination around the globe, and I thought people should think about that a bit.
Where does your imagination take you in the writing, and how does that work into the work that you do for the United Nations?
Well, what I was talking about was we all have imaginations wherever we are, whoever we are, wherever we're located. What I was asking is whether there is now such a thing as a global imagination. We've seen mass communication shrinking the world, you know, that you no longer are unknown to any corner of the globe if you're appearing on a television program that's seen around the world, and so on. And so you have, on the one hand, a sense that people know everywhere around the world the same sorts of things. Everyone has access to the same kinds of experiences, whether it's McDonald's or Game Boys or Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein. These are on everyone's minds. Are we globalizing the human imagination? That's the question. To me, and this is where my own experience as an Indian writer comes in, the answer lies in the fact that these globalizing forces are offset by the increasing assertion of national identities in a cultural sense, in a political sense, in a religious sense, by people in every part of the world. As a writer, I'm engaged in that process of trying to help express the identity of my culture, which happens to be India. And I made a plea for both recognizing the value of diversity around the world under the rubric of globalization, but also promoting more convergence across these different identities, more understanding, more learning, more mutual tolerance, so that you don't have the kind of murderous manifestations of identity that bring you terrorism.
What kind of channels were you envisioning when you think about this? Because there's lots of ways for people to communicate, not all of them effective, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
What are the ways that you imagine as you sort of go forward that you would like to see, and what do you see now?
It starts with something as basic as learning. It means giving kids in the remotest madrasas on the Afghan-Pakistan frontier something better to do, to learn, I beg your pardon, than the culture of the Quran and the Kalashnikov. As I said in my talk, the Quran crudely taught and the Kalashnikov crudely made. Give these kids a chance to get a basic education. Maybe one day there'll be computer programming in Silicon Valley instead of trying to destroy the lives of people whom they don't even know or understand. Improve human understanding, improve access to information, bridge the digital divide. These are the kinds of things that Silicon Valley ought to be good at.
Do you think that those are ways of bringing, say, the next, you know, the next Einstein or the next whoever the genius may be? It could be that child out there.
Absolutely. And as I said in my talk, we live in a global village. 9/11 showed us that a fire that starts in a dusty tent in some remote corner of our planet can melt the steel girders that support the tallest skyscrapers in this corner of the global village. So we cannot be immune from ignorance and intolerance elsewhere. Wherever we are, that can reach us. And so it's important to promote understanding, promote tolerance. As I said, and as somebody else said about water pollution, we all live downstream. And I think that's a metaphor the ways in which we are all interconnected.
Where does the technology play into this? Because it's obviously becoming more and more an important role for the good and for the opposite.
That's right. Technology is an extremely important force for connection, for convergence. It's an extremely important tool for people to get to know each other and know about each other. But the very same tool can be used by the forces of disruption and destruction instead. So you have to have the technology, but you also have to have the content that goes into that technology. Well, that content has to be democratic, pluralist, and promoting of tolerance.
And I suppose with the technology, that means that the stream can kind of go both ways.
Both ways, absolutely.
Yeah. I've been speaking today with Dr. Shashi Tharoor, who's the Undersecretary General for the United Nations here at TICON 2006 in Santa Clara, California. For podtech.net, I'm Michael Johnson, and thanks for being with us on the podcast today.
Thank you, Michael.